5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the EDP F1 podcast. We've got our preview out of the way. We are back into full racing mode, probably more so than some of the actual teams on the track. Joined by a probably record EDP F1 pod crowd. Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Yeah, that sounded better in my head. Where to start? Perry Hamilton's here, back in the flesh after the difficult-to-hear phone call.
Joining in live instead of live via satellite.
And you're feeling now. Better?
Oh, much, much better. I will just correct you on one minor point, Michael. I wasn't somewhere in Norwich. I was actually in Dereham, the hub of all motorsports journalists, which I'm sure you know, of course.
Indeed. Can we class that as greater Norwich?
We can class it as lesser Norfolk. How's that?
I think that's probably quite offensive for anyone.
To anyone listening in Dereham, I apologise. I work in Morrison's, come find me.
Wearing a rather fetching Meatloaf t-shirt as well.
I'm a big fan, saw him at the O2, absolutely cracking. He's a big racing fan as well.
Boom. Is he not?
I've no idea. I don't know. I don't know. So that's there you go. I've offended people in Dereham and I've slandered Meatloaf. So
we'll have to check on the official EDP fact checker
on the lawsuits.
Whatever that is. Right, go around the table then, I suppose. Stephen Russ here. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
You well?
Yep.
Enjoying life?
Yep.
Enjoyed Oz?
Yeah, it was good. I thought it got a bit boring towards the end, if I'm honest. But the first half of it was good.
Exactly. Yeah. I would probably join you in that. Carl Cumbers is here again. Evening. Carl? You well?
Very well. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you very much. We'll be going back to yours and Steve's predictions, obviously, later on. Or maybe that's in part two. But soon.
Soon.
It's exciting times. John Luton's here. Hello, John. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a long time.
You've been all around as well, haven't you? You've been to Australia.
I think I've been to Norway, Sweden, Australia and New Zealand since last time. So, yeah. Oh, bit of a trek.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Isn't Australia a nice place to be?
It was. I even got to cycle around the Formula One track.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you do it in the equivalent of a V6 engine, sort of time wise, or was it?
Depending on which team you're talking about, more of a Caterham kind of speed.
Oh, poor Caterham. The more things change, the more they stay the same. ADP F1 podcast debut for Mr. Craig, or Mav. What should we call you?
Mav is fine.
Mav is fine.
Yeah, let's stick with that.
But we could call you Craig Parker.
You could call me Craig Parker if you like. My mum does so. And
when you're being told off?
She thinks I'm the most handsome boy in school, so.
Okay.
It's all right.
He's come here with the bar is set high there, I think. And you brought a lot of notes.
No.
Yes, yeah.
Well, everyone's been ripping me for my notes. I'm just the new boy trying to look good.
Excellent.
It's all going to go downhill, so don't worry.
I'm sure it'll sound good as well. It's fine. Australia, the first Grand Prix of the 2014 season. Guys, if you want to talk, just sort of talk, because I'm not policing this. it's six people, including myself. I can barely
It's a borderline riot. I'm not going to lie.
Could end up like that. Steve kind of touched on it earlier. Did we enjoy the race? Are we happy? Were we a bit surprised? Unexpected things?
I was happy. I enjoyed it. I thought it was actually good. It was better than the end of last season. So for me, the second half of last season
couldn't be any worse.
That's a big step up. It got me back into it, and I can see good things coming for the rest of the season. I can see that happening. I did. I really enjoyed it.
Did anyone else feel Steve's sort of the fact that the race did tail off a bit later on? Because the first few laps were brilliant, weren't they, Mav? And it just sort of. Did it tail off?
I think it did a little bit. Like Rosberg kind of got out front and was never really troubled. Like, you wanted the others to catch him, but no one ever looked like they were going to, and it just kind of stayed that way. When I was writing my notes,
all of them copious notes.
Yeah, hang on, let me go through his load here. No, I was looking, and like some of the, it kind of seemed quite uneventful for the drivers, sort of 6th through 11th. There wasn't much. They didn't seem to feature much on the TV, or there was nothing really going on with them.
No, I think that's a fair point.
I quite like the latter part of the race where there was that sort of little chase on for 4th and 3rd, and you know, and then you were kind of like, is it? And then you realised that actually we're not going to waste the car. We could have caught him, but then he sped up, and then it was a bit sort of, they're still feeling their tactics out. So there was that little bit of excitement of, oh, we could catch, he's going to push for it, and then he didn't, and I don't know. There was potential. I didn't think it was as bad as everyone's making out, but
yeah, I suppose we. Whereas last year, Carl, it would have been the tyres that maybe would have gone away.
Yeah.
This year, we were wondering if they were suddenly going to be able to turn up their engines and use a bit more fuel, and away they go. And it sort of threatened that it might happen, and then it didn't actually happen.
Yeah, I think, actually, yeah, I enjoyed most of the race, and all the race, because, I think there's a few battles at the end, and also we didn't really know if everybody was going to be reliable. I mean, Rosberg was leading by 20-odd seconds, but you never know, someone could have gone wrong. Yeah, exactly, pop.
Well, not even that. I mean, put your foot down coming out of a corner and you've got one tyre on some marbles, and that back end will just kick, won't it? And I think that's the point that Martin Brundle was making all weekend, was there's now more power than grip, and that's the way it should be. So even people driving in straight lines, you know, the car tries to take a chunk out of them, which I think is really, for me, it's great. I think, you know, multi-million dollar machines driving around the track just want to kick you off like a bucking Bronco.
Woof. John, did you like the engines? Did you like the noise? It's a big discussion.
It was just a bit weird. It was the fact that whenever anyone was on the radio to the driver, it was like the most casual thing ever. It's like, well, last year they were screaming at them just to be able to hear. This year it was just kind of, I think it was the Ferrari boss, who just sounded like he was on a sun lounger, just kind of like, you know.
He probably was. He probably was.
But yeah, it was just a bit too quiet. I think maybe the noise being a bit lower would have been okay, but it was just like a dull sound, wasn't it?
I'd just say that there's one point where someone locked up and you just heard, you can hear the tyre squeal, and you could hear the crowd's reaction when things went.
And I'd say also, you could hear the gravel bouncing off the bodywork when cars went through the gravel trap as well.
Now, is this maybe the difference between us lot, who, you know, we don't get to every race, we do watch most of it on television, being able to watch it, as opposed to the fans maybe absorbing the sound there and then?
Yeah, I think so. Also, I read that the Australian Grand Prix Corporation are actually looking at contract breaches for F1 over the quieter cars, saying that it takes away from the spectacle, and they're kind of getting onto it. And they've had a chat with Bernie and the boys, and which is a bit odd, but
I think they should be pleased that 14 cars finished, because when they were talking before, you know. Half a dozen could have finished, so...
Exactly. It could have been carnage. And did anyone think it would be carnage when they had to do an aborted start?
No, I just kind of wondered, you know, come on, guys, you've had all the off-season to get this together. Pull your thumb out. Sort it out. It's a multi-million pound dollar
what have they
Euro
been doing
industry.
All winter?
Precisely. Like, get the simple stuff. Fix your traffic lights, guys. Get your simple stuff right. Don't stall your cars. Come on now, people. It's not hard. You're paid to be the 22 best drivers in the world. So... quit messing around and just get it sorted.
Love it. You should be working in one of those teams, Ped. Last season, Mr. Dave Tillier gave me an impression someone had done by the means of their throat of a V8 Formula One engine. Here it is. So we need a replacement. Someone needs to step forward with a V6. We had lots of V6 turbo. We had lots of descriptions of it. Some of them rather random.
One of my friends said he thought it sounded a lot more like the superbikes. Wasn't it? You said that as well, didn't you, Matt?
Yeah,
you said it was a bit like the MotoGP.
Yeah, the four-stroke MotoGP bikes.
Okay.
Four-stroke, I don't know what that means.
What would that be? Anyone want to hazard a guess of making the noise? Doing an impression?
Oh, I don't know.
Not really.
I like that one. That's good. No, but you've got to get the end. You've got to get the... As it dumps from
with
the turbo.
A whistle. If you could whistle while I do this, John.
I can't whistle.
Okay, no, you can whistle. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That'll do.
That's rubbish.
That's awful. That's utterly terrible.
I think that's as close as
I bet you DT's mate has already got a bang on impression. Ooh. I bet he's got it down.
Next time DT's on, which will happen, we will be coaxing that one out of him, most definitely. Okay, well, we should probably mention who won the race, shouldn't we? Nico Rosberg. I think it did get mentioned earlier. As you mentioned, Mab, who's miles clear, 22 seconds, wasn't it? I think, I mean, that's a bigger lead than Vettel had in some of the races last year, Steve.
Yeah, I think
ominous stuff?
I think it could have been even bigger, because, I mean, one key point to point out is when his race engineer asked him to go half a second quicker, and like that, he went half a second quicker, and you couldn't help but think, well, could he go even more than that? I think they are so far out in front, it is unreal.
Providing the car starts, or, you know, gets
running. Six cylinders, yeah.
Yeah, one of Lewis's cylinders wasn't being
running
injected
a V5
properly.
Instead of a V6.
No, I mean, that's cruel stuff, John. Poor Lewis, because, I mean, no matter what he's actually said over the course of all the build-up, you could tell he knows his favourite.
He was gutted by it, but I think it's one that he knows that he's in such a strong car that he's going to pick up them points that they dropped at the weekend. And I think, you know, Rosberg would have been even further ahead if it wasn't for the safety car as well, because he was probably 10 seconds up, I think, at that point.
Pardon?
Phone on vibrate,
fine,
apologies.
Fine.
It's all right.
No, you carry it.
I can't remember what's straight forward now.
Well, it was a great point, John. It was a great point. Okay, EDP F1 pit stops time. Mav, you look confused. You'll like this.
That's fine.
You'll like this. This is good.
Okay.
I don't really know what it is. We just sort of go through the paddock and the grid. And although we're not going to do that this time, I'm just going to ask you some random questions and I want you to chip in. Biggest surprise of the weekend?
Red Bull. I think we were all expecting them to struggle. And, Ricciardo was quite strong. So, yeah.
Just illegally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his pace in qualifying was good as well. So, and we were expecting, well, I wasn't expecting him to finish. Ricciardo was strong. Well, Vettel had a tough weekend, but
I saw it, a joke somewhere that they'd actually given Vettel's car to Ricciardo, and, you know, they'd all gone horribly wrong from there. Let's get stuck into this then, shall we? Ricciardo, and I am going to constantly call him Ricciardo, because that's what his name is, even if he calls himself Ricciardo.
You said he'd be beat up at school if he was called Ricciardo.
Yeah, if he actually pronounced his name right, he'd get beaten up at school. Ridiculous excuse. He finished second, very comfortably. Now, there are strict rules on the fuel this season. They're limited to how much fuel they can inject into the engine over a period of time. The FIA regulates that across all teams, all cars, and they provide one homogenised sensor that every team has to use to make sure it's a level playing field. Red Bull didn't trust that sensor, so they used their own one, even though the FIA kept saying, no, you need to use ours. And they said, no. Which is this?
And then the FIA said, for the race, you've got to put the original sensor, which was faulty, back in and use an offset. So when Red Bull are appealing this decision, from what I've understood, they did replace the FIA with the FIA provided sensor, applied the offset, but they said because the sensor was faulty against the offset, using the offset, their readings are accurate and the FIA's readings are off, and they haven't taken into account the full offset.
I mean, I have kind of launched into them in my column in the EDP this week. Surely the FIA are in charge. It's what they say goes. And they were on to hiding to nothing.
Yeah.
For a team that was just hoping to finish, where do they have the right to go by their own rules if the guys running the sport tell them what to do, John?
I don't know. You just get the impression with Red Bull that if things don't go their way, they just want to complain about everything, and it's just, I don't know, you could tell they were, you know, they're fed up because of they've had car problems all winter, and it's just one problem after another. And but you could say it depends whether or not the thing was reading accurately or not. If they were overdoing the fuel, then surely the two McLarens would have caught up with it, which was looking odds on until, you know, a few laps towards the end.
I presume no other team had a problem with an offset.
No other team had a faulty sensor, from what I've been able to garner.
And they were also warned during the race as well, didn't they?
Yes, they were actually.
After five laps, they were warned.
Yeah, and they were told to adjust something or other that. Yeah. And, they ignored that.
See, I just think it smacks of hideous arrogance, which maybe comes when you win the last four drivers and constructors' titles.
Arrogance for
Ferrari was like that, weren't they?
I did say it's the sort of stuff that undermines the integrity of the sport. But I think
words from Michael Bailey.
If you're not doing what the people in charge of the sport are telling you to do, and everyone else is doing it,
Journalist Adam Cooper mentioned it's like obviously it will have to be weighed as well. But you could say, ask her, I'll say something slightly different. But you've got to go by
exactly. Yeah. That's the only way the sport has integrity, if one body is monitoring everyone. I'm afraid that's how
the rules regulate the fun, don't they, Michael? Everyone can have more fun.
Organised
fun.
Enhance the fun. Anyone else got any big surprises from the weekend?
Williams, I thought were really good. I wasn't expecting them to be where they were. They were a shame about Massa. I think he could have had a really strong race, but Bottas drove like a boss ass. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been saved up all winter, that one. There's a little, some sort of fist, but have you had an agreement to get that in? Because that's the only...
No.
Fair enough.
Just fly by the seat of our pants. Improv.
Massa's race was ended by the impactful return of Kamui Kobayashi, who even himself thought it was his fault until Caterham proved it was an issue with the brakes.
I was watching the race with our newest cohort, Mav. Was it you, Mav, that said during the race, I know this is going to sound really odd, but when he doesn't crash, he's really good? And as long as Kobayashi can keep it on the track, he's very good. He's sort of like how we initially thought about sort of Romain Grosjean. If he's not crashing into people, he's actually pretty quick. And I think Kobayashi's like that, but it is just, he's gone hell for leather. He's got a cracking start.
It was a brilliant start.
Absolutely cracking start. Just braked about 20 metres later than everyone else and braked 20 times harder than everyone else and just went straight through.
Well, yeah, but then the stewards proved it was a brake failure, didn't they, I think? So it did kind of like it. But you're not convinced, are you?
No, I'm not convinced.
Well, the FIA, the rules of the sport, said there was no penalty, and the fact that Felipe Massa had gone on about how Kamui should probably be banned for life is all rescinded and everyone's made up. Big disappointment. Any big major disappointment? Some of you went, whoa, what the hell happened there?
Obviously, Hamilton dropping out was a big disappointment.
Yeah, it was a big disappointment.
I think that was a big letdown for me. We wanted to see him do strong. Massa going out was a big disappointment for me when you see how strong they are. Mid-card teams that you think that you're expecting to see do really, you know, take that step forward again. Your Saubers, your Force Indias just weren't, you know, as Mav said, those sort of middle guys just didn't get any TV time because they weren't doing anything interesting. But they weren't a massive disappointment. But yeah, I think Williams and Hamilton for me.
As expected, Mav? All those?
Yeah, I think so. I was a little bit disappointed. I thought Raikkonen would have been a bit better than he was. But then I just think it's first round. I think there's teething problems. They'll figure it out. And I think he'll push a bit further up. But yeah, the Williams, as Perry said, it was a shame that Massa went out. But Bottas was very good. The only thing was I did notice that, again, Raikkonen and Verne kind of made it easy for him, both making mistakes, sort of letting go. But I think he would have done it anyway. So.
Yeah, but they're the ones who made the mistakes and he didn't.
Exactly.
So you see, there it is.
Boom indeed. Alonso was a bit disappointed himself, wasn't he, Kyle?
Yeah, I thought Ferrari were quite disappointing. I mean, they had a sort of quite an average pre-season, but I thought they were sort of covering up, sandbagging a bit. And I thought they'd, I was expecting a bit more, and they're quite way off the pace.
Turns out they were just slow.
Yeah.
Or not quite as
slow. Just their pace.
Really, with Ferrari, I mean, have they honestly actually moved any further forward in the last three, four seasons?
I did smile when
they've always kind of been about mid, sort of top 10 and never really progressed any further.
Well, I smiled when Alonso qualified fifth, didn't he? And then, you know, minus Ricciardo, he basically finished fifth, which is pretty much what he did all last year.
Well, so, I read on one of the sites that both Ferrari drivers spent the entire race saving fuel because they believe the car or the engine to be a little bit thirsty than compared to the others for fuel.
Oh, that would be
which is not,
to say
not very handy, really.
No, not really. Let's mention Lotus because they were there. This was effectively their third test session, really, wasn't it? It was just nothingness.
It was awful.
I mean,
I've got nothing more on the race to get that far.
Yeah. He did, yeah. That's true. That's true. There's a great shot of Romain Grosjean in the pits after qualifying, ranting, really angrily ranting, still smiling. He was ranting with a smile on his face. That's why I love Romain. Great stuff. Caterham, obviously we are obliged to mention them. I make us obliged to mention them, our old Hingham-backed fellas and girls, obviously. Kamui's race ended early, as we mentioned. Marcus Ericsson prolonged it for a bit. Are they ahead of Marussia? Does anyone care? I mean, Marussia's cars both
Marussia finished, so
8 laps down, but they finished.
But they both had to start from the pit lane. And Max Chilton always finishes. He's like a machine. It doesn't matter how slow it is, he will finish.
He's an average speed Terminator.
But I think this season, though, Marussia will pick up some points in some of the races where everyone drops it. No, I think they might end up with a 10th at some point where everyone gets wiped out or has problems, and they just, you know, career around five laps down in 10th place.
Now, John, care to make a wager on Marussia scoring points? Because,
to be honest,
I'll tell you this, I've been burnt by that before, good sir, by saying
I'm not prepared to put money on it, but I think it's possible that tells you exactly how confident
he is in that prediction.
That fiver went to
not
good
prepared
use.
Prepared to put money on it.
Went to good use.
I don't need to know that, Michael.
The last thing I want to mention, the BBC coverage. Gary Anderson has disappeared.
They did boot him out,
which I hadn't really realised.
He started doing work for Autosport.
Yeah, which he had. He was doing at the end of last season, doing a lot more of it. I just can't think BBC are just missing.
So who's
missing
there, who's
it?
Who's
well, they haven't
now?
Got a technical analyst anymore. No. They've got the guy who I don't know whose name he is. He wanders up the pit lane and he talks.
Tom something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Tom Clancy.
It's Clarkson.
Oh, he's like Tom Clancy. I was about to say, just got very interesting in the pit lane. Very, very espionage.
Does seem strange. A huge technical change. And they get rid of Gary Anderson.
Yeah.
But
it did make a massive difference in how they were. Because I watched the BBC highlights and I did get to watch the live Sky coverage. And just the technical analysis then of what was going on the highlights, it was just wasn't there.
But then I wouldn't necessarily say that Ted Kravitz is the most technically gifted.
He's better than nothing.
Gentlemen. Yeah. He is better than nothing, but all he's doing is probably reading from a script that a technical analyst who isn't in front of the camera has given him. So can't BBC just do that? Because if you need someone to just stand in front of a camera and read from a script with an air of knowledge about the changes in Formula One, BBC, I'm available.
I'm here.
I've got media experience. This is what we're doing right here. See? So come on, give me the call, Beeb. Give me the call.
It's time for our Of the Weekends. Yes, listen to that excitement. That is five blokes wondering what they're going to say. These are the people who excelled or otherwise across the Australian Grand Prix weekend. Your driver, who are we going to say?
I've got one, and I don't really think we've mentioned him yet.
Okay,
it's got to be the young Dane. It's got to be Kevin Magnussen.
We haven't mentioned him yet, have we?
There you go. Everyone's on board with that. Everyone's on board. It's got to be cracking drive. Stellar. Drive, whacking it on the podium, first like debut in Formula One for a team that was an absolute dog last year. Showed poise and composure throughout the whole thing. Cracking qualifying, cracking race. Got to give it to K Mags.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
I thought the other rookie, Kvyat.
Fiat.
Yeah, like a 500.
Yeah.
I was impressed with him the weekend, so. Especially as only 19 as well.
Well, they both had really good qualifying and race, didn't they? That's the thing, they put it together in both. Interesting thing about Daniel Fiat. Is he broke Sebastian's record of being the youngest ever point scorer in Formula One? Mm. There you go. Did you have that one down on your notes?
That's one of my notes there.
Yeah, love it.
Michael was reading over your shoulder. Mate. Yeah, that's the only reason you knew that.
I'm a journalist, so I have to nick other people's stuff. That's how it works. Okay, then Magnussen, are we saying? I did have that written down here for myself. Yeah, definitely. The way he saved the car off the start as well, that wasn't bad either. Goat?
Excluding brake failure, I've got to give it a little bit, maybe. To come in.
He's not buying.
Which again, but then if you're going with what we were discussing earlier about having to play by everyone's rules, it's got to be Red Bull.
Well, I've got Red Bull.
They've had an absolute nightmare with Seb, and then they've taken the one opportunity that they've had and they've squandered it. So yeah, because I like Kamui, I'm willing to give him a pass. I'll go Red Bull.
Yeah, I would go Red Bull. Anyone else?
Raikkonen. I've had a dreadful weekend. Quite a lot of mistakes in the race. And I'll also go Vettel as well, because just his radio conversations in a race saying do something.
Yeah, there were. I think there were a few. Yeah, there were. It called it ridiculous, didn't it, at one point? But we didn't. I didn't hear that one, so I don't know if they.
I mean, yeah, did I it live on. I don't think it was on telly, but yeah, on he said afterwards, he told him to do something.
Yeah,
which was quite funny.
It's going to be interesting watching Seb while things don't quite go his way. I think he could win friends or alienate people. I suppose it could go either way. Yeah, happy with anyone else? Want to throw in any? Nope. All right then. Did we decide? Doesn't really matter to me. We'd have to decide. We'll just discuss it. And highlight of the weekend.
We haven't done team.
And team of the weekend.
It's going to be McLaren, isn't it? I mean, even you got to say the pit stops for Button to kind of get him in and gain some places kind of shows that, as well as having a car which is way better than last year's car, they're actually hitting it on strategy as well.
Yeah, it all came together, didn't it? Even getting nipping in for a pit under the safety car by Jensen.
No, it worked out in the end. Leapfrogged two spots, I think, didn't he?
I think three on the first and two on the second.
Yeah.
I think.
So. Awesome.
I know just from...
Spit it out, boy.
It's Williams for me. I mean, come on, guys. We've looked at this team, and I think everyone around this table has got a soft spot for Williams. We grew up watching it. We grew up watching them be the dominant force, and just to see their fall from grace and to see how low they went, I still maintain that they fell out the moment they changed their livery from blue to red when they got sponsored by Woody Woodpecker or whatever it was that was on the side of their car in the 90s. And I think that's when they fell down, and we've just seen them drop and drop and drop and drop. And last season, I think, was just terrible. And to see them come out and not only do so well in quali, but to have a driver like Bottas as well. I mean, I know that they didn't have both cars finished. And I know, yeah, McLaren have come back. But in one race, they scored more points than they scored all last year. By only having one car finish, I mean, come on, that is absolutely cracking work from a team that I pretty much thought, with funding and performance issues, could well be on their way out. But so for me, I'll give it up for Williams, I think, as well.
Fair enough. That was my one. My one issue with Bottas probably should have finished much higher than he did had he not have just dented the wall.
I think probably the pace to finish on the podium.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it would have been tough to get through the traffic, but without that collision with the wall, I think he could have been sort of near McLaren's anyway.
Missed opportunity. Anyone else? Williams, McLaren? Happy enough?
I would go with that, yeah. McLaren more so for me. Yeah.
Damn.
Sorry.
Highlight. Not that I preempted that earlier. Highlight of the race, of the weekend,
Did you see him trying to get in the track after when he came out of FP1?
I'm a driver. Is that really... I'm not being funny. You should still check.
Could be anyone on the helmet.
Now we know how to get into the pit lane.
I'm driving.
No, Ozzy Jobsworth there was doing the exact right thing, exactly. I think. Yeah. Getting credentials all sorted.
I'm a bit tall to be Lewis. I don't think I'd pull it off.
The fact that Mercedes have commissioned a company to make a hat that appears to be specifically for Lewis. Because if you look at their actual sponsor caps with the Mercedes logo on and everything that, like, Nico gets given, it's just a normal baseball cap. But Lewis seems to have one of these things that looks more at home on, like, Jay-Z's head, I think. I think it's just to reflect Lewis's gangster lifestyle.
He has gone a bit gangster.
I think Alonso wears one then, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that's he's worn that for years and years and years, hasn't he? Bro? And I think Kimi... Or just wears what he wants, but yeah. So that was a good one for me. On track, I think Bottas's overtakes, going round the outside in some corners, which was just ridiculous. I think he was tenacious in it. So that for me, just watching that guy overtake people, because I think he was pulling out the best overtakes of the weekend. Not just when people were running wide, but there were some legit overtakes when he was, you know, getting around people and sort of just had the better pace.
Fair enough. My highlight was Ricciardo on the podium, which is obviously then scrubbed from history, so I haven't thought of another one. Anyone else?
I think Ken Magnussen's start, I thought it was quite funny. Yeah, it could have been horribly wrong.
Yeah, it could have been horribly funny. Anyone else? Go on, Steve.
Really.
You're revving
There's
up,
one
I can
thing
tell.
I thought of from earlier is when Bottas had his puncture, you could the onboard that the Sky was showing, you could hear it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you want,
never heard
it?
That before. I actually thought his engine had gone, but because there was a complete pitch change, and then obviously we knew he'd hit the wall and he got a puncture, but you'd never hear that before.
Absolutely agree with that.
Oh,
that was brilliant.
Another quick highlight, the brand new F duct that McLaren have developed that they did simply by knocking off Jenson Button's nose to allow airflow through the car. Brilliant work, McLaren.
It got a bit chilly.
Someone had gone round it with like a little, like a scoring knife or something, just so that as soon as they came in, the guy was like, oh, I've lifted up on the jack, and then, boop, just kicked it off. Oh, what an accident, F-duct. Boom. And he performed like a beast after that.
That'll have been someone's job to, you know,
yeah,
perfectly design.
Perfectly design a nose cone that comes off like a gecko's tail.
I love it. Those things only happen at the start of the season. Okay, just a bit of Twitter love, I suppose I should say. Joe Barziski. Joe, you'll have to let me know how you pronounce your name. But she enjoyed our podcasts last year, said thanks over the winter, which is always nice. And more recently, Graham on Twitter gave us his verdict on the race in Australia. A good start, amazing so many finished, bearing in mind the difficulties with the new engines. But they must get louder. He wants more noise. Do you want more noise? No.
Turn the TV up then.
Graham, you have been steeped. I think I can say that. Okay, we're done for part one of this podcast. Looking back at Australia. We'll be back to preview all that will happen in Malaysia. It's got a lot to live up to, too. In the meantime, a big thank you to John, Kyle, Steve, Ped, Mav. And myself, I suppose. Should I thank myself?
Yeah, always.
Okay, thanks, Ped. Thanks for that. Twitter plugs, at EDPF1, or me, at Michael J. Bailey. Johnny on Twitter?
Yep, at John Luton.
Kyle?
At K-Cumbers.
Steve?
Nope.
No, he's not on Twitter.
I'm sure we told him the last time to get on Twitter. Steve, you've dropped the ball
there. Stubbornly refusing.
Stubbornly refusing.
You will get asked every time.
Every time. Just make one up. Or find someone you don't like and use theirs. I'm at PedHD56.
Something he's done that before, you can tell. Mav?
And I'm at Sandbox94.
Excellent.
There you go.
Why is that?
Sandbox is kind of, I do some kind of graphic design, and that's my design name, and then 94 is my old race number, because I used to race motocross.
I'm glad I asked.
And I thoroughly recommend following Mav, because he does post some absolutely wonderful design work that he's done, and that's not just a plug for Mav. It's good
Thanks.
Design work.
Is that tenner?
Thank you, mate. Thank
you. Boom. There you go. You can now, you know, put that in a bet on something else during the
season.
On something
ridiculous that will fail.
Just lose it.
Yeah.
Exactly. What else is there? Facebook.com/EDPF1. There'll be some bits and bobs on there. And all the Lotus Caterham news, this podcast, my weekly column, is at edp24.co.uk/F1. That is it. I'm plugged out. We'll plug back in for our Malaysia preview in a few days. So keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, thanks everyone. Thanks for listening. And goodbye.